Hi, this is Paul Vogelsang from the Not Old Better Show. I want to mention right up front that despite the government shutdown, all Smithsonian Associate programs are operating as scheduled right now, and the upcoming Melanie Benjamin program on Monday, January 22nd, is moving forward as scheduled, but it's important to check the Smithsonian Associates website for any program updates as the venue may change. Updates can be found there at smithsonianassociates.org and on the Not Old Better website. And now, on to our interview with Melanie Benjamin. As part of our Smithsonian Associates Art of Living series, our guest today on the Not Old Better Show is New York Times best-selling author Melanie Benjamin, who has written a new book entitled The Girls in the Picture. The book, which I read in one night, is a page-turner. It's about power, the power of women during the exhilarating early years of Hollywood. It's also about the imbalance of power then and now, and the sacrifices and compromises women must make in order to succeed.
I'd seen the way men in power treated actresses. It wasn't an equal relationship at all, and if you were an ambitious actress, well, there were many unsavory choices you would have to make, Marion narrates. Actresses who wanted bigger roles were fair game, at least for some directors and producers. It was an open secret.
That, of course, is our guest today, author Melanie Benjamin, reading a passage from her new book, The Girls in the Picture. Melanie Benjamin will be at the Smithsonian Associates program, The Screenwriter and the Superstar, Frances Marion, Mary Pickford, and The Girls in the Picture. Melanie Benjamin will be presenting stories from her book on Monday, January 22nd, 2018. Remember to check the Smithsonian Associates website for any program updates. And now please join me in welcoming to the Not Old Better Show via Skype, author Melanie Benjamin. Well, Melanie Benjamin, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I've done a bit of research on you, and I found that you have a love of theater and stage, and that you really love presenting. So what can we expect from you at the Smithsonian presentation?
Well, I hope an entertaining evening. That is always my first duty. I want to give anyone who comes to the trouble to come out and see me a really good time, something they wouldn't get if they stayed at home just reading. I do a PowerPoint presentation, and because most of all my books so far have lent themselves to that. So there are lovely historical photos of the people who I've written about. And I give you some background about myself and why I wrote the book, and some background about why I think this particular book is very, very timely at the moment.
Yes, I do as well. And we've heard you just read a passage from the book. And of course, the book was completed long before the Weinstein scandal broke, but the times haven't changed much. So now, just as then, limitations were placed on women. What were some of the struggles that these two women faced? And both were incredibly successful, but there were still very real gender-based challenges.
Sure. I mean, in many ways, Hollywood 100 years ago was quite different than it is today, because at least then there were more seats at the table for women. You know, it was especially in the very, very early years before it became big business, when they were kind of making it all up. It didn't really matter where you came from, your experience, because nobody had any, or even your gender. There were, and particularly in the screenwriting area, which Frances Marion was one of the most pioneering screenwriters of Hollywood. That was really, you know, half of the scripts coming out of Hollywood in those days were written by women. Half of the movies being made, I'm sorry, their scripts were written by women. That said, even though Mary Pickford was the first actress to have her own production company, the heads of the studios were mainly men. And they there were definitely issues that Mary and Frances had to take that are not had to face that are not unlike what women are facing today. The casting couch, for example, definitely was around back then. I think Cecil B. DeMille could possibly have been the Harvey Weinstein of his day. Mm. He had a harem that everybody kind of knew about and talked about. And particularly with Frances and Mary, initially when Mary formed her first production, her production company, and chose Frances to be her collaborator, and they embarked on making this amazing string of movies that became Mary Pickford's most famous and beloved. The first movie they made together, the studio heads really tried to kind of pronounce a failure before it was even released. They really set themselves up to fail. I'm sorry, they set Mary and Frances up to fail. They put a lot of obstacles in their way, and they tried to shake their faith because they just didn't like these women daring to have control over their own careers. Now, Mary and Frances triumphed because their movies were big, big box office, and at the time that mattered. But, you know, still there were definitely, there was a lot of sexism that they had to face, a lot of men telling them what to do.
You're well known for your focused research, and this book is no exception. I read it. I loved it. And
Thank you. It is
quote unquote historical fiction, and it chronicles these early days of Hollywood, kind of as you call them, from flickers to talkies, a great deal of research on movie making and, you know, kind of the many transformations that come from that period. What piece of research was most revealing to you about this particular time?
Well, I had long ago read a book called Without Lying Down, which is the biography of Frances Marion. And it also, this was written by Carrie Beecham. It's a wonderful book. And that led me to read biographies of Mary Pickford, too. And it was, so those two books were important in opening my eyes to the fact that Hollywood was invented as much by women as it was by men. And unfortunately, I think the names we remember today tend to be Louis B. Mayer, Sam Goldwyn, D.W. Griffith, Cecil B. DeMille, when really we should be talking about Lois Weber, Dorothy Arzner, Frances Marion, Mary Pickford, Anita Loose. And that was really eye-opening to me. I think, you know, I'm obviously used to the Hollywood that we have been in up until now, where women's voices weren't important and women's stories weren't told. And it was really eye-opening to me to see how influential these men, these women were in early Hollywood.
And Mary Pickford particularly was so influential, married to Douglas Fairbanks. Why were they such an intriguing couple at that time?
You know, that is such a funny thing because no one knew that they were until suddenly everybody knew that they were. I think what happened with them, I mean, they were both very beloved movie stars in America. And then World War I came along and decimated the European film industry. So obviously they lost men to war. They lost material to war. They still showed pictures in France and in Great Britain during World War I. But the pictures they showed were from Hollywood, starring Mary Pickford, Douglas Fairbanks, Charlie Chaplin. So what happened was they became international movie stars, international celebrities, but they didn't know it. Here in the States, they didn't really see what was going on until Mary and Douglas married and went on a honeymoon. First they landed in England, then they went to other places in Europe. Actually, Frances Marion and her husband went along. It was kind of a joint honeymoon. And that was the beginning of this. They all discovered how huge they were. The moment their ship docked, Mary and Frances were mobbed. The British police had not anticipated this. They couldn't contain the crowds. It happened over and over, and it led to these incredible op-eds about what has happened to our country. Why are these strange Americans so celebrated? What is going on with these movies? And that was really kind of the first time the entire world had to grapple with the fact that movies and movie stars were absolute international celebrities. And it's a fascinating thing to see it happen. And I hope I described it really well in the book, that amazing European honeymoon.
You did. And the other thing that was described really well is, and you mentioned this just now, the role that World War I played in terms mm-hmm. of the movie making that was going on, but it also played a role in the friendship between Mary and Frances. Frances ends up deciding to go to war, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. She became one of the first female war correspondents. She didn't want to stay home. And Mary's career was too important to her, as a lot of actors were. And of course, she was a female. So Mary went on to do these Liberty Bond tours with Fairbanks and Chaplin and other actors, in which they raised millions and millions of dollars of war bonds to help finance the war.
It was a fascinating time. I really enjoyed kind of the references to the films of the day, Birth of a Nation and The Big House and others. With all of your research emphasis, you've got to be, and your orientation towards history, you've got to be a film buff, right?
Oh, yeah. Always have been. So long before I even became a writer, yeah. Turner Classic Movies, obviously my favorite cable channel in the world. Would love to be able to be a guest host on that someday.
Okay, good.
But and I've always read books about Hollywood. And I do love all periods of Hollywood. But it has always been the silent era that has fascinated me the most because of the energy, the creative energy that, you know, again, that kind of sense that everybody was making it up as they went along. It was so kinetic and enthralling. And that's why I was really excited to write this book.
Well, let's get back to this subject of kind of then and now and the similarities. Because these two women, together and apart, were pioneers, I was struck, of course, by the sacrifice and struggle that they each endured to move ahead, which isn't too different from today's women. What struggles do you see today that were going on then?
Well, certainly, you know, the struggle of all women that we always have with family, balancing family and career, mm-hmm. It just is never the issue for men. It isn't now, and it certainly wasn't 100 years ago. I think Mary and Frances, they had a little different struggle because on the one hand, they were working in a creative industry. The arts have always been a lot more welcoming and diverse of women, particularly. But yet, on the other hand, they're doing this in 1914, Mary even earlier. That's the Edwardian era. Women weren't supposed to have ambition. So I think for Mary and Frances, the struggle also was in addition to simply being taken seriously because they were women, listened to by men because they were women, but also other women weren't entirely supportive of women who worked and women who were ambitious and had careers. So I think they had to struggle with that, whereas today, hopefully, women are much more supportive. And this is why Mary and Frances' friendship is so important, because the two of them together were able to talk these issues out and support each other. And I do like to think there's a larger community of women doing that today. But I still, obviously, women... particularly in Hollywood, I think, as we have seen in the last few months, mm-hmm. Hollywood has, from the very beginning, again, the casting couch. The fact that young women, you know, got off the train with stars in their eyes and studio head said, sure, you can get ahead first. Let's take you to this party where they found out they're the entertainment, you know, that kind of thing mm-hmm. has been around since the beginning. So I think Hollywood, in along with a lot of other industries, but Hollywood, you know, is getting the spotlight right now, has had this kind of patriarchal, sexist kind of background from the beginning. And I think so it's probably inevitable that this is the first major industry right now to be grabbing the headlines. And they're cleaning house, but they had quite a house to clean, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and the friendship was deep, of course, between the two. But was the friendship between Mary Pickford and Frances Marion ever subject to jealousy over one being so famous and the other being kind of behind the scenes as a scenarist, which that term jumped out at me.
That's an interesting term. That was what mm-hmm. Frances was and her peers were called back then, not screenwriters, but scenarists, which is a term that it obviously is not used today. Yes, certainly. I mean, their friendship lasted their entire lives. That's a long time. I mean, they both died in the 70s. So, but yes, their career, the dynamics shifted many times during their friendship, as you know, as happens with most friendships. At first, of course, Mary was the one, the most powerful, the most influential. She hired Frances to work for her, not with her. Although soon it was a true collaboration. Then Frances decided to kind of strike out on her own, which I don't think Mary probably liked very much, but you know, the friendship did survive. And then all of a sudden sound comes in. And while Mary Pickford did make a few sound films, and in fact won the second ever Academy Award for Best Actress for her first sound film, her career went in decline while Frances's actually ascended at that point. And that's when she became the first woman to win an Academy Award for Best Screenplay and the first person, period, to win two Academy Awards for Best Screenplay. So yes, definitely... Yes, there were some hurt feelings, there were some jealousies, but I think what's so amazing about their friendship is it still survived. You know, they had struggled, they had been, the two of them together, fighting a room full of studio heads who were all male for so long in their lives that even those kind of career changes could not shake the friendship.
We are with New York Times best-selling author Melanie Benjamin, who has written the new book, The Girls in the Picture. Melanie Benjamin, tell us, do you identify with either Frances or Mary?
It's interesting because I have a theatrical background, mm-hmm. so I certainly understand a lot of Mary's personality and the desire to perform and to be loved. But I do think I most strongly identified with Frances, the writer. She had a real practical streak to her that I have always encouraged in myself. Writing is not just an art, it is a business. You have to understand the business end of it. You have to be open to changes, course corrections, career corrections, which I have done a couple of times in my career. And so I think I did identify with Frances's work ethic, you know, the practicality of you just sit down every day and write. And also this, her love of words and her imagination. So I think I definitely identified with Frances more.
Melanie Benjamin, thanks so much for being a guest today.
Well, my pleasure, and thank you for having me.
My thanks to our guest today, Melanie Benjamin, who will be sharing stories from her new book, The Girls in the Picture, at the Ripley Center in Washington, D.C., January 22nd, 2018. The venue may change, so be sure and check the Smithsonian Associates website at smithsonianassociates.org for more information prior to January 22nd. My thanks go to the Smithsonian team for all they do to support our interviews. As usual, we'll post links to everything, and also as usual, my thanks to you, the listeners, for joining me today. Your time is valuable, and I'm grateful you're spending some of it with me. I'm always interested in feedback, and you can leave that at iTunes, Google Play, or send me an email at info@notoldbetter.com. That's info@better.com. Stay tuned for our next show, another great one, as we talk about better. The Not Old Better Show. Thanks to all.